Well, we're sticking with the topic of retail sales, which Jared was mentioning. The strength of the U.S. consumer is showing a little bit of a downturn in the most recent data. And we're going to be chatting that with our next guest, David Balin, Citi Private Bank Chief Investment Officer. Now, David, we're off pretty notably today across the major equity indexes. I want to get your take on what you made of this morning's retail sales data and what this might mean for companies that rely on consumer spending going forward.
So I think what we're seeing is a the impact of the virus and really the overall tenor of the market changing as a result of that, right? People, when we talk about leave your home, we're talking about people's comfort in actually going out and doing retail sales in general. But some of these issues that we have, especially around motor vehicles, right, which you're showing the data about now, used car sales, things like that, these are actually supply chain disruptions that have taken place as a result, you know, of COVID itself and the fact that we don't have resolution of those. So I look at it as sort of an intermediate term and a short term impact of the virus as having the largest possible, impact on the data that we're actually seeing today. And you're right, the market is priced assuming that this would not occur. So we expect over the next couple of months, right, for this COVID spike to actually abate. We're going to see, I think, new vaccinations come out and be required or at least recommended. And as a result of that, I think we're going to see a return to normal there. But in general, that's sort of how we're looking at it right now, a temporary, external shock.
Okay, but if you look at the two data points on the table that I think a lot of investors, especially looking at retail, are considering is one, over $2 trillion in cash in savings that people can deploy. But they're not deploying perhaps right now because of this, let's hope it's a brief spike in COVID. At what point do you jump in expecting that $2 trillion to follow?
Well, first of all, I don't think all of that $2 trillion is going to follow. I mean, I think that's an extraordinary number, but you're right. It is extraordinary, right? It's the largest transfer, right, and the fastest transfer. Some of that savings is going to be spent on traditional retail. But what you just showed earlier, which is this whole services area, right, travel and leisure, right, getting out of the house and going and doing things, clearly when we look at the traffic data, right, in terms of the TSA traffic data in America, or when we look at actual, the future bookings on airlines, and you can see that their prices for future bookings are going down, all of that suggests that people's ability to get back to their old behavior has been delayed. And the other thing that I wanted to point out, and I'm not sure if you discussed this earlier, is the fact that the back-to-school sales cycle is going to be impacted as well. Not only do we have uncertainties around going back to school, but about spending in terms of how they're going to spend to go back to school. So all of this is going to put a damper, I think, on retail and on the economy in general over the course of the next 6 weeks, which is typically a nice post-summer period of time.
David, as we see some of these airline, cruise line, and other reopening stocks under pressure today, do you think there are still opportunities in these cyclical stocks once we get through this latest wave of the virus, or have these stocks mostly run their course since November of last year through most of the year to date so far?
So I can give you a personal answer to that question. So I actually took a cruise for 2 weeks this summer on one of the companies that you have, I won't mention which, and it was 40% full and in Europe. So there is a long way to go before cruise lines, airlines, and such, fill back up. And to answer your question specifically, I consider this to be a terrific area for investment in the event we get post-COVID. And that is simply going to be a between now and 22 event. And then people are going to return to normal. But that return to normal has been delayed far more than we expected just a few months ago. When you take a look at what's happening in Hong Kong and in China specifically, with travel in Malaysia and in Thailand, the restrictions in Australia and New Zealand, these are places, and in India, right, where the vaccination rates are much less. In all of these places, the level of vaccination and the speed of vaccination has been far slower than it has been in the U.S. and in the U.K. and in Europe and other areas closer to us. And this means that travel in general and people's ability to spend the $2 trillion on services has been mitigated. And I think that that is where the sort of, it's going to be lower for longer. But ultimately, to answer your questions, these are stocks that are going to have, in my opinion, these sectors, a real rebirth when the economy normalizes. They're going to have, in fact, a leveraged comeback because people are going to spend on them just as they were spending on dishwashers when they only could buy dishwashers. There's going to be a return to travel at that time.
David, you're line of reasoning echo something we heard yesterday from a guest who talked about the forward PE is below what it had been just about 4 or 5 months ago. And then that individual said, we could very well see S&P 500 end the year at around 5,000. Is that overly optimistic, given the fact that we still have to get those people back on the boats, back in the planes, and spending the enormous $2 trillion?
I am. I've learned as a result of the pandemic that the whole idea that we have a high degree of certainty is not true. But whether we get to 5,000 or not, that's not how investors should be thinking about this moment. The opportunity to buy high quality assets, right? And that's one of the reasons why healthcare is up today, which have good dividend payments or have the possibility of a very, very sharp rebound and sustained rebound in earnings. You can identify these stocks across the market in spite of what's going on. These are the things that investors should be acquiring. And they should be worried about the fact that bond yields are too low. Investors should not be willing to accept negative real yields in their portfolio. You know, we've had to live at 8 to 10% above, we are 8% overweight today relative to bonds in our portfolios. And it's painful to go through days like today or weeks like today as a result of that. But when you look at the trade-off between where the economy will be in 22 versus where it is now, it is clear to us that being overweight, high-quality equities, dividend aristocrats, certain areas of the market like healthcare, some of the stocks that are going to be coming back again now, the travel and leisure sectors, this is going to be where money is made in 22. But it's going to be a difficult path to get there because of these exogenous and difficult COVID shocks.
All right, David Balin, Citi Private Bank Chief Investment Officer, thank you so much.